So this morning, as we continue this series of listening to God, that's just such a great song that we just sang. But the question is, do you believe it? Do you truly believe that God can make beautiful things out of dust? Oh, I forgot. We are made out of dust. And so if that is true, if God can make something beautiful out of dust, what can he do in our lives? The stuff that's going on in our lives, do you truly believe that he can make something new out of it? That's a great question to ponder and to ask yourself. I ask myself that question, and I'm sometimes surprised by the answer I get, and yet I'm just so excited about the fact that God continues to make beautiful things in me, and I know that as each of us turn our face to him and say, Jesus, do you have something beautiful to make out of this? Enough of that. This is a summer of listening to God. Oh yeah, that is all part of it, isn't it? Do we believe that God would have something to say to us? Do we believe that hearing and doing, which is the job that God, Jesus says, I want you to hear what I'm saying and I want you to do what I say. And it's such an interesting thing to consider about the fact that Jesus actually has something to say to us and he has something for us to do. So there I was on a Friday night. I had gotten home from work and Heather had made supper, and that would be my wife, by the way. And I was just about to sit down, and this voice inside of me says, Gord, you're going to be leading worship tonight. You better prepare. All right. And I promptly sat down and had supper and enjoyed it and headed off to this meeting that we were going to hear about this ministry that was going on. And I arrive at the church, and this pastor who I barely knew, he comes running up to me and he says, Gord, our worship guy is not here tonight. Can you lead worship? Oh, Lord. I had heard, but I didn't accept it into this my knower. I didn't accept it inside of me. So I get up to the keyboard. I am a keyboard player. I have for a few years now. And I attempted to lead worship, and it was very poor. Does God speak to us today? Yeah, he does. But what's interesting is the fact that he calls us to hear and then to do and to literally be aware of what's going on. So this morning, as we continue on this summer series of listening to God, we've heard three messages, one from Pastor Steve and then two from Pastor Chris. And now it's me. Oh, by the way, I'm Gord. I work here at the church, and I enjoy what I do. It's one of those jobs that I never thought I would ever do. And just so you all know, what do? I'm the maintenance guy around here. I am. I make sure all the lights work. I make sure that the toilets work. I make sure that it's cool in here. I have the power in my pocket right here, actually, to change the temperature in this place right now. I do. I also, my wife and I lead a ministry called Freedom Session, and I'll tell you a little story about that a little bit later. I have a job that I never thought I would ever do. They used to be scared when they put a screwdriver in my hand and thought, uh-oh, what's he going to do with this thing? It's amazing how God prepares you and what he does in your life. This morning, we are looking at this word abiding. Such a great, commonly used word. And, maybe not. But it's a word that has such meaning and such richness to it. And this is the word we're going to be looking at. So let's open your Bibles, or if you had a YouVersion on your electrical on your iPhone or your Android, whatever, YouVersion, go there. If you got a Bible, open it. If not, it's going to be on the screen behind us. The first 8 verses of John chapter 15. Let's read that together. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. The people had already heard what Jesus said, and consequently, they were already in the process of being pruned. So that's what basically we're referring to there. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Let's just pause for a moment. Jesus, your words speak such truth. And this morning we have gathered together to worship you. We have sung some songs, and the tunes are great, and the words say something, and yet we are looking to you for a word. We are desiring to hear from you. And yet, Father, those words that we have sung are still words that are finding places in our souls to rest. But now, Lord, your word is here before us, and we have spoken the word about remaining in you and us in you. You and us and us in you. And Lord, I pray that this morning we would find, not only find, but make room for your word to remain in us, to abide in us, to rest in us. Thank you for who you are this morning. As Lord, as I speak, I ask that you would give me the words that would be the words you would have me to speak this day. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right, just so we all are on the same page, the word remain, which is was used, I believe, 8 times, is the same type of word as the word abiding. They refer to the same thing, and I'll get on to that in just a few minutes. But first, the word pruning. Anybody need pruning this morning? I have the device. 35 1/4 inches long. It would do a mighty good job. Any volunteers need to be pruned? This is an interesting device. Do you ever get the feeling that this is the kind of pruning device that God uses when he says, it's time to prune Gord. Let's get up there. Craig, do you need pruning? Okay. Do you ever get the feeling that God gets up there and he just slashes away, and when he's done, you're nothing but a piece of meat. It's just oozing meat, and it's just... Is that what you think when you think of the Father pruning you? Interesting thought. Made in China. Okay. All right. Now, let's get away from that, because that's not the truth.
If I can get that in there, there we go. What I have found in working with people is that when God prunes us, number one, he does so at the right time. He prepares us for pruning. He prepares us at not only at the right time, but in the right way. And when he prunes us, when he's done, it's a thing of beauty. And sometimes when he prunes us, he's pruned us in such a way that it makes a way for something other to take place. This morning, I'm going to call my friend Lloyd up here. Lloyd Lewis. Come on, Lloyd, get up here. He is absolutely so not excited. But Lloyd is a guy who has experienced pruning in his life. And he is willing to come and share some of his story with us this morning. See the excitement just oozing out of him? This is a microphone.
Hello.
Oh, there you go. He knows how to even use it. If you were in a Freedom Session night, there's a mistake that you would already recognize. Number one, Gord never lets go of the microphone. He always has the microphone, but he has it this morning, and it's going to be good because Lloyd is sharing something from his past. So, Lloyd, but last March, about a year ago last March, you found yourself at a Freedom Session one Sunday night, and you're sitting there, and we had been teaching on forgiveness. And you all of a sudden heard God say what?
During that time, something that was probably 3 decades in the making, but the Lord asked me to forgive my father because he wanted to snatch him out of the mouth of the great and roaring lion. And that was pretty hard for me.
Yeah. This morning, Lloyd's story is not so much a story of, yes, the past has taken place, but it's what has taken place since then. So, Lloyd, before that night, what had actually taken place in your life? What was going on?
Well, there was a bunch of things. I guess 2 months into Freedom Session, I got a phone call from the RCMP and was notified that my mother was in a head-on car crash. And she was in the hospital, and she has a brain injury, and it's caused dementia, and we've been dealing with that now over the last 18 months. And 24 hours after that, I got a call from the VPD looking for my mother, who I told was in the hospital. And they told me that my sister had passed away, fentanyl overdose. So.
Some things in your life. Yeah. When God asked you to forgive your dad, by the way, in a nutshell, if you were to describe what you had to forgive your dad for, what would it be? One word would do just fine.
Monster.
Okay. So when God asked you to forgive, what did you say?
I didn't want to forgive. I wanted vengeance. I wanted judgment.
Yeah. So, how long did it take before you said, okay?
I guess after, it was probably around 3 weeks that moving forward in Freedom Session and just wrestling with the idea that God wants to redeem my dad.
But it's interesting, as we work, if you were to come to Freedom Session, as we work through forgiveness, what happens is Lloyd needs to release his dad into God's hands, and sometimes we don't want to do that. Yeah. So you and I met Wednesday night. I remember very specifically, I was the one who was helping Lloyd walk through some of these steps. And we're meeting in Pastor Rick's office, and I had already gone in there and prepared the office. I had some water and a couple glasses there, and he comes in and he throws his book down on the desk in there. I was all of a sudden getting excited. Why? Because I knew that tonight was the night that he was going to say, "All right." There's one word that I have to say. There's one word he used, and it's a really amazing word. He says, "This feels like plastic." It feels like plastic. So, you went through the process of forgiving your dad that night. How did it feel when you were done?
Honestly, it didn't feel a whole lot different. I had gone through the motions, and that's all it really felt like at first.
Yeah. But I have to say that the following Sunday night, Freedom Session was on again, and Lloyd was there that night. And when the evening was done, his two facilitators came running up to me and said, "What did you do to Lloyd?" Me? Nothing. But Jesus did. They could not believe the change of what had happened from the previous week to that night. He was at work. How has your life changed since you forgave your dad?
I guess a lot of things got better. Relationship with my wife and children. And the ability to even pray for my dad.
Hmm. Yeah. So where do you find yourself now? You are obviously still in process.
Sure.
Yeah. Lloyd said to me as we met a couple weeks ago, he says, "At times I find my fist still isn't big enough for my dad." And yet, God is in process. He's in the midst of redeeming you as you have released your dad into his hands. One of the things that we teach at Freedom Session is the fact that when we do not forgive, we are in prison. And when we forgive, we actually find that Jesus lets us out of prison so that we can continue living lives that he has called us to live. And we leave the person that we have forgiven into Jesus' hands. So, Lloyd, my friend, I bless you. Thank you. Those are hard stories sometimes to tell. But here's the interesting thing. I asked Heidi, Lloyd's wife, I said, "Heidi, if there were people present here this morning who have also experienced abuse and they just need somebody to talk to, would you guys be willing to talk to them?" "Absolutely," she said. So if you have found yourself working your way out of abuse of some type, Lloyd's story is, he described it well, monster. And yet Jesus is in the midst of making something beautiful, not only out of Lloyd's life, but as if Lloyd's dad decides that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life for his own life, Jesus will make something beautiful out of it. It doesn't get rid of the past, but the past would no longer have control over the future or over the present or over the future. So that's just really neat. So as we continue this morning in abiding, Let me tell you what abide means. It means physically to just stay where you are. It means also to continue to live, not die, to keep on keeping on. It can also mean to not change, to stay strong in one's resolve, remain in common purpose with others. It means to stay present, just physically, not just physically, but mentally and spiritually. And then part of the meaning of the word remain means to stay in the same place or with the same person or group, especially to stay behind. In essence, we are abiding if we remain, we are remaining. As we remain, we abide. Abide just has a bigger base, so to speak, than the word remain. Now, to help us understand what we're really talking about here this morning, because we're talking about hearing and doing. Lloyd heard from God saying, I want you to forgive your dad. He forgave his dad. He did what he was asked to do. So, on the screen, I want to go a little further than that. There's a diagram on the screen I'm looking for. There it is. Jesus has called us to abide so that we can be fruitful. And this is just a really amazing thing that we're looking at here, because you see, we have abiding on one side and fruitful on the other, and that line that goes down, it's a pendulum, and it swings back and forth. And as it swings, as we have found time to abide, then growth starts to take place, and it leads us up to this place of fruitfulness. And then once we've been fruitful, then there's pruning time, and it comes back to abiding again. Fruitfulness happens in stages and seasons, but it all comes out of abiding. We abide, we grow, we bear fruit, we prune, and we abide again. But the thing is, we cannot bear fruit if we're not abiding. We can also look at it this way. Rest, work, work, rest. It's a process. But as we are abiding, we cannot simply stay at abiding. Something needs to happen. Otherwise, if fruit does not start to grow in where we're doing, it will be as the scripture says, that eventually that'll be cut off. That branch will be cut off and thrown into the fire. And this is what nature does, and it is how Jesus actually wants us to live our lives. And as we do this, as we learn to abide, and as we learn to be grow, and then we become fruitful, this is what Jesus wants us to be. And we are learning to live like Jesus when we actually do that. You see, Jesus spent time with the Father. He then spent time with his disciples. And then he spent time with those he came across in his travels. And then he simply repeated the process. So, what does this look like in our own lives? And what does it mean to us this morning to abide? I want to read something to us. It's from a little devotional book called Jesus Calling by Sarah Young. Some of you may be familiar with it. Sarah writes Jesus Calling, Jesus... I can't remember the names of them right now, but she's written a number of these books, the devotional books, and she writes from the perspective of what Jesus is saying to us. And so this is from June 29th, and it says this: as you get out of bed in the morning, be aware of my presence with you. You may not be thinking clearly yet, but I am. Your early morning thoughts tend to be anxious ones until you get connected with me. Invite me into your thoughts by whispering my name, Jesus. Suddenly, your day brightens and feels more user-friendly. You cannot dread a day that is vibrant with my presence. You gain confidence through knowing that I am with you, that you face nothing alone. Anxiety stems from asking the wrong question. If such and such happens, can I handle it? The true question is not whether you can cope with whatever happens, but whether you and I together can handle anything that occurs. It is this you and I together factor that gives you confidence to face the day cheerfully. How does that resonate with you this morning? The fact that Jesus says, are you going to go out of yourself? Or do you want to invite me along with you? You see, our days are a whirlwind. There's the commute to work. There's work itself. And then back out into traffic to get the kids out to who knows what activities. And finally find time to rest. And then to repeat the same thing again tomorrow. We have bills to pay, deadlines to meet, families to take care of. We're a society that is infected by stress. And it's rubbing off and dramatically affecting the youth of our age as well. And so how do we actually find time to abide? How do we make time to actually abide? Jesus says in verse 4 of John chapter 15, he says, remain or abide in me, and I will remain or abide in you. Jesus says to each of us this morning, no matter how busy you are, think on me, call my name out loud. I will hear and come, is what the scripture says. The verse continues to say, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine, and neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Now, this fruit, what is it? What does it look like? Well, a couple of examples. First of all, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And what are these fruits? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Pastor Chris, a couple of weeks ago, did just an amazing job of describing what each one of those words mean. So how do we learn to abide? We do this by reading his word regularly. Now, I know that we've talked about reading the Bible regularly, and sometimes, yeah, we find time for it, and sometimes we're just so busy we don't. But when we take time to talk to God about what is going on in our lives, and then listening for what he has to say, he actually will speak to us, and we will actually hear. Like I did that one Friday night. I think about that at times and I'm going, oh, why didn't I listen? It still occurs to me every once in a while. But there is forgiveness. And Jesus has continued to speak. The reality of not reading God's word shows up really badly. When all of a sudden things go sideways, we find ourselves all of a sudden unemployed. We find relationships that go sideways. Things happen and we do not know what to do. We don't know where to go, who to talk to. And so what do? We open our Bible and quickly find something that might help us. It might say something to us. And so I say, instead of waiting for that to happen, why don't we just be a bit proactive and open up his word? Choose 8 to 10 verses. Open up a psalm. Psalm chapter 23. Just read 8 to 10 verses. And then as you read it, say, Jesus, is there a word that you're speaking? Is there something in there that you're saying to me? Is there a word that jumps out at me as I'm reading this? Do you have something to say to me? As we learn to invite Jesus into every situation we find ourselves in, we actually start to change from reacting to responding. As we learn to invite Jesus into every situation, our lives start to have meaning and purpose rather than working, running, or striving. Our kids and those who interact with us on a daily basis see that we are changing when we do that. We are becoming more settled and less uptight and not so stressed out. The Message translation of verse 5 of John 15 says this. It says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant." Now remember, our lives are to be about hearing and doing. Jesus is about hearing from the Father what his Father in heaven is saying to him and doing it. Jesus is all about harvest. He wants it to be abundant. And for this to take place, he describes to us what needs to take place. He is the vine, we are the branches. When we are joined with him and he with us and the relationship intimate and organic, real and transparent, then we will truly learn to hear from him. And through this, the harvest is sure to be abundant. When we are joined with the Father, he helps us to grow strong branches. Now, Jesus here is most likely talking about a grapevine. Now, Heather and I have this garden. Let me rephrase that. Heather has the garden and I'm the worker. I do what I'm told. And we have this grapevine that we inherited when we took over this garden 3 years ago. And last year, the grapes that came off this grapevine were absolutely amazing. We could not deal with all the grapes. This year, not so much. Why? Because we pruned it. And we're talking pruning. And we have learned this year, as we're watching this grapevine start to sprout and go like crazy, that the vines themselves, or the branches from the grapevine itself, are very weak and they break easily. If we had done the pruning correctly, like we had done the previous year, we were trying to contain this thing into this small garden plot that we have. And so, of course, the only way to do that is to prune it good. Well, had we not pruned it as much as we did, we would probably have a lovely harvest of grapes. But let me tell you, we have lots of branches, but they're weak. And Jesus says, as you abide in me, in other words, take time to just sit still and find out and who I am, because I want to be with you. As we do that, as we take time to be still, he starts to help us grow stronger, so that we can actually bear more fruit. Our grapevine would be much better this year had we not pruned it back so much this past fall. And so it's one of these things where Jesus is talking about, and everybody in his day knew all about being a farmer or having a grapevine. Everybody knew everything about this. So when we are joined with the Father, he helps us to grow strong branches, ones that are able to handle more fruit in season, but we can only do this as we remain in him. Now, to be more specific, when we talk about harvest, we are talking about hearing and doing. Jesus spent time with his Father, then he spent time with his disciples, and then ministered to the people in different ways. He healed those who needed healing. He answered questions. He ate with them. He pointed people to a life that was about relationship and not religion or legalism. Jesus wants each of us to be someone who will actually do that. Someone who will be the fruit of the Spirit to the person that Jesus has pointed out to us. Sometimes it's easy to do that. And sometimes not so much. But as we take those steps of saying, Jesus, are you really saying this to me? Are you really saying that I need to go and be nice to that person? as we take steps, just baby steps, saying, okay, Lord, I'll go and I'll talk to that person. It's amazing what takes place. As we become aware of the people around us and what's truly happening, instead of racing like crazy to do this and that and everything else, when we actually take time to listen and then follow through what Jesus has asked us to do, it's amazing what takes place. Jesus goes on to say, separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown in the bonfire. Yes, you can live your life without him, without Jesus, but you can't produce anything. In fact, you will be compared to dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But then Jesus goes on to say, but if you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. And this is how my Father shows who he is, when you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. Isn't it interesting? Jesus says that if we make ourselves at home with him, talking and listening and his words, the ones we read in our Bible, and the ones we hear him speaking to us, if we do this, then whatever we ask, because of our relationship with him, they will be listened to. Whatever we ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how the Father shows who he is. When you learn and mature in hearing and then doing what he says, that's what a disciple is. So as we learn to listen to what God is saying to us, the pressure in our lives starts to lessen. We start to find out what God wants us to be a part of, and possibly, through pruning, what he wants us to stop doing. Everything about abiding is about stopping and starting. Stopping what God wants you to stop and starting what God wants you to start. This past year, I was asked a question. Gord, what are you going to stop? And I looked at the person who asked me that question and I thought, what in the world am I going to stop? I have a job to do. I've got to make sure lights work, make sure everything around here is working properly. I lead Freedom Session, and that's a great program, and God is at work. As we heard in Lloyd's life this morning and all so many other people's lives, God is in the midst of changing, bringing healing, seeing the broken brought back to healing and life. I don't know. Then somebody says, Gord, what would happen if you took Freedom Session and put it aside for 1 year and instead spent the time investing in leaders, leading them through something of a discipleship type program? So Helen and I prayed about it, and I have to tell you that it was a life-changing decision to stop doing something that we just so thoroughly enjoyed doing and to enter into a season of doing something else. It changed my life. I am not the same person this morning as I was last May when I was asked that question, a year ago last May. God is in the midst of changing my life, and it's amazing what takes place. So, in essence, I see what time it is. Yeah, that would be typical of me. Give me a microphone, and all of a sudden I start to talk. But I just get so excited about how God works in our lives. We talk so much today about sharing our faith with others that When we talk about sharing our faith, we sometimes say, what do I have to say? How am I going to say anything to anybody? Well, if we learn to abide and learn to live like Jesus and the predictable patterns of life that he followed, we will have experiences that we just cannot help but share with others. The most amazing thing happens. There I was a couple of weeks ago trying to drive the riding lawnmower that we have here at the church, and I found that I could only turn left. I couldn't turn right. Steering, something happened in the steering, and all I can do is turn left. You can only do so many lawns by turning left. I had to tell you that. And so I was able to take the steering mechanism apart and see what the problem was, get it repaired, put it back together again, and woohoo, away we go. And 5 minutes into riding again, my two front wheels went this way. I knew immediately what the problem was. I had left
room as I was putting the mechanism back together again so that I could get the steering column to be exactly like, because I like it nice and straight. And I had everything in the right place, but I had forgotten to tighten the two bolts that hold either wheel. And I had left them loose. And so one of the bolts had come off and voop, I'm in this situation saying, Lord, I don't know what to do. I've got to get this lawn cut and I cannot find this bolt in the grass. You help me find a bolt in the grass, just this little bolt. All of a sudden, I said, Jesus, I thank you that you are here. Did you know he's here, by the way, this morning? It's just amazing. I'm saying, Jesus, I thank you that out here in the front lawn of this church, you are here and there is a bolt for me. I believe that because you said you look after us. So I'm looking through the grass, pawing through the grass, and I was able to move the lawnmower out of the way and couldn't find a thing. Immediately, a couple of moments later, the picture of this bolt comes zipping through my mind and leaves. And I went, what was that? I went to the workroom I have downstairs here, and I started looking through all the bolts and the nuts that I have, and wouldn't you know it, I found this bolt. And on there was a nut that I needed. And I said, I'll bet you this is the nut. I went outside, voot, on it went. That's Jesus at work in my life. That's my story. And as I tell it, people go, really? That's what he did? Yeah. I'm just so excited because I got to get back on my lawnmower and just finish mowing all the lawn out there. When we have time to learn to abide, when we invite Jesus into every area of our lives, when we invite him into the pain of our lives, the very depth of our beings, and we say, Jesus, I need you more than I need to deal with this pain. Would you come in and help me just be the person you've called me to be? Would you help me to learn to hear your word? Our lives actually change, and we have something to share with people. Every season of our lives entail pruning and growing with abiding and fruitfulness as bookends. That's just the way it is. This morning, Jesus is calling us by name. And he knows who we are. He knows the stresses we carry. He knows all the details of our lives. And he knows that sometimes we get to a point where we just don't know what to do, but he's saying, call on my name. Learn to abide in me. Learn to rest and give everything that is going on in your life to me. And I will help you live as I want you to live. I will help you to hear what I'm saying. That is what Jesus is saying to each one of us this morning. So invite him in. Take time to read his word. As you're driving to work, Jesus, thank you for what's going on here today. Lord, I thank you for this vehicle that's actually working today. And thank you for the fact that I have a job. And thank you for what you're going ahead of me. Lord, the traffic, look at that guy just butt in front of me. Lord, I bless him. I bless him. May your spirit rest on him. May he know the error of his ways. But at the same time, Lord, may he be aware of your presence. Change his life, Lord, as you are changing mine. And I have found, Heather and I first moved to the coast here, for 3 years, I commuted back and forth between here and Burnaby, and I found that very rarely was I late as I talked and communed with God. And my way was straight, and things just worked out. But you see, God today is asking us, are you willing to invite him in? Are you willing to abide with him and allow him to make a way for us to live so that when things happen, we don't fly off the handle? Instead, we respond to that still small voice that says, it's okay, I'm here. He's asking us to learn to abide. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your word to us this morning. Thank you for how you teach us. For how you teach us to abide in you. And as we abide, as you abide in us, Lord, as we learn to do this, you come along and you abide so thoroughly and so deeply in us.
And so, Father, we are a people who need you. We are a people who need to know you more. We desire to hear your voice. And I pray that we would be a people who learn to hear your voice, who allow you to change our lives. Thank you for what you're in the midst of doing. Thank you for this time, Lord, that we get to continue to worship you through so many different ways as you work in our lives. So, Jesus, we bless your name. Thank you for your presence now in this place. Amen.